You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker here, alongside Patrick Webb. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good today, Derek. I thawed out after we had that 30 to 40 below weather come through. So nice and warm nowadays.
Yeah, you know, if you're listening outside of the state of Montana, I think it's hard to describe an 80-degree temperature swing in the winter, going from negative 40 up to now, what are we sitting, positive 40?
Yeah.
in a matter of a week. It's something that you can talk about, but you can never really prepare for.
And I probably needed to put some weather stripping on our door, some new weather stripping, because we straight up had to put a blanket over the crack of our door, and I pinned it at night because there was too much cold air coming through. And in the morning, taking that off is just frosted to the door, just frozen to the door.
You know it's cold when you have to put a blanket on your house.
Yes, exactly.
So, speaking of, I guess, sensitive things, yeah. We're going to get into a topic here today, Patrick, that it's a tough one. It's a tough one to talk about. Why don't you set the stage for our listeners? What are we getting into today?
Yeah, so at the Family Foundation, we do not shy away from tough topics. We meet them head on, so to speak. And our goal is to speak truth, no matter what. And our society really needs that right now. And so today we're going to be talking about the issue of transgenderism and how that has become a wave that is moving through our country, and not just our country, other parts of the world as well, but especially in the United States, we're seeing it in Montana as well. And we just want to talk about this issue. We've engaged on some different bills that impact this issue and just share with our listeners kind of how we view it and where our heart is on that.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's an issue that you have to approach with compassion, with grace, with tact, because, you know, it's an issue that can really divide people. Some people look at this issue as, you know, you either hate or you love, but those really don't come into play when we're talking about it. It's not about hatred towards one mindset or one ideology. There is love here. Speaking the truth in love, with conviction and with compassion, and just to lay some foundation here for our listeners and why we get involved in this issue, it really comes down to it's part of our marriage and family bucket of things that we get involved with. And when we talk about marriage and family, we're talking about what is God's design for marriage and the family. And those individual units within the family unit are people, human beings, and God's design for His creation and us. So that's why we get involved, because family matters. So to set the stage a little bit more, this last session, two of our most contentious bills were really on the issue of this transgender ideology. So what is that? You know, when we talk about transgenderism, transgender ideology, I think there are as many definitions as there are supposed genders. When we talk about this issue, we try to hone in on biological sex, and there's a reason for that. And in fact, and we'll get into this as to why we defined the terms male and female here in Montana. It was really important so that we weren't conflating the terms gender and sex any longer. So we've got a lot of ground to cover here, Patrick. How should we tackle this? Should we give some stories? Should we talk about the bills? Should we talk about kind of what the underlying, where this is coming from? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's important for listeners to know that as fellow truth tellers in society who are hopefully, you know, gaining the confidence or already have the confidence to go out and share with their elected leaders their concerns to try to affect change in their communities, that we do have to act out of love, as you covered at the very beginning. When we treat people with hate and contempt, it undercuts our message in a very severe way where people stop listening to us. And we have no hatred for anyone, even individuals who disagree, you know, 180 degrees from us. So we really want to speak truth in love. And that may be misinterpreted sometimes by some of those individuals, but it's truly where our heart is. And it's what Christ calls us to do in society. So, I think, you know, I love stories. I think it's good to start with some stories. Walt Heyer was a extraordinary speaker that we had recently at our banquet series. And for those of you who don't know, the Montana Family Foundation runs a series of banquet events put on by our own Mindy, who does a phenomenal job. She works so hard with her team, Debbie, everyone back at our headquarters in Laurel. They do a really great job of putting those events together. And we sold out events in Billings. We sold out events in Bozeman. And we had Walt Heyer, who came as our speaker. He's the founder of sexchangeregret.com. And he has helped thousands of individuals, quote unquote, detransition and give them advice on how to kind of overcome former decisions that, you know, either they made or their parents made for them or their doctors made for them that irrevocably changed them and transformed them and destroyed them in many ways through sex change therapies with hormone blockers and surgeries that have destroyed their bodies in many ways. And he was a great guest that we had, and he shared just a phenomenal story of how, you know, when he was a young person, he faced very difficult abuse from multiple members of his family, psychological, sexual, everything you could think of. And he decided that he probably needed to transition and become a woman. And so Walt, through the advice of a therapist, and I believe it was just one or two meetings that he had had with this individual before he was told that he should get surgeries. He transitioned, or you know, tried to, I guess. He says that transitioning doesn't really exist because you are who you are no matter what. And he transitioned to a woman, and his problems just exacerbated in many ways because in reality, that was never a solution for him. It was something that he had been told would be a solution, but at the end of the day, it was very significant trauma therapy that changed him. And he said that, you know, time and time again, the individuals that he works with, that they have experienced adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, and these are individuals who at their core need trauma therapy. So, you know, that's just one story of an individual who has experienced it and worked with this community and has seen, you know, kind of those unfortunate circumstances and horrors firsthand of how people's lives can be destroyed through this ideology.
Yeah, Walt's story is so beautiful from a Christian faith perspective too. I mean, Walt went through this transition back in the 80s, so somewhat of a trendsetter. And by the way, you know, Walt is now a senior fellow with the Family Research Council. He's in his 80s, and he's very proud of that moniker, being a senior fellow. And just he's one of God's most amazing people. Love Walt. so engaging, so fun to talk to, and so open and honest about his story. Walt was actually the first witness I talked to and asked to come join us in Montana last session to speak in support of Senate Bill 99. And we'll get into that bill and why it was important here in Montana in a minute. But Walt lived as a woman for 8 or 9 years back before it was, kind of the cool thing to do. I think it's really glorified in our society right now. And Walt shares this incredible testimony of going to a pastor and having this Christian counseling and dealing with path traumas and abuses and having Jesus Christ relieve him of those burdens. And that's why he started Sex Change Regret. And through that, through his ministry and through his many books, he's written like 12 books, working on another one right now. He's helped thousands of people dealing with similar issues. Walt's just an incredible reminder to all of us that, through our pain and our trauma or our abuse, and through the redemptive power of the gospel, God can use our pain for his glory. And I love that about Walt. But Walt's not alone in terms of detransitioners, which is the term that we use to describe people who went through a quote unquote transition and then realized that that didn't solve that core issue or whatever that issue was. It didn't solve it. Mutilating your body, claiming to be of the opposite sex does not solve that issue. And so when you detransition, there's actually a lot of pressure against those people, a lot of social pressures. One such person, one such example would be Chloe Cole. I know some of our listeners have probably heard her story, but if you haven't, it's incredible. This young lady is 18 years old. And at 12 years old, she started to experience some confusing thoughts about her biological sex. She went to a therapist, and was prescribed puberty blockers. That's the first step. She was given puberty blockers, and these have irreversible consequences for young people, for anybody. She took the puberty blockers. A year later, at 13, she was given cross-sex hormones. These have irreversible consequences for young people. At 14, it might have been at 15, 14 or 15, she had a double mastectomy and went through menopause. I mean, just unbelievable trauma to the body, let alone the mind, before the age of 16. And then she realized in her youth, she realized she made the biggest mistake of her life. And now she travels the country warning people about the dangers of this ideology. And it's an incredible story, Chloe Cole. And she's not alone either. There's a growing number of detransitioners.
And here's the truth. These individuals oftentimes are adolescents going through puberty. And anyone who has gone through puberty understands that it is a very difficult time where you are struggling to find your identity. And so, for the medical community and parents sometimes who are driven by a radical ideology to press upon children who are going through a very confusing time that this is the answer to their problems is so dangerous. It is so dangerous, and it is so sad that it is happening in our society because these children, as they come out of puberty, they realize that they have destroyed themselves. Some of them may never be able to have children. Some of them may never be able to have the types of families that they wish that they had. So, that is where our heart is behind this, is because we are trying to protect families. We are trying to protect our children. And that includes from harmful, dangerous ideologies. And in Montana, that did come about with Senate Bill 99. Derek, do you want to talk a little bit about Senate Bill 99? Because I know that that is a bill that is also held up in the courts presently.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Senate Bill 99, and at the core, this was to protect children. You know, this was to protect children from irreversible decisions, irreversible consequences from these decisions, like taking puberty blockers, taking cross-sex hormones, or having a radical surgery performed on their body, like a double mastectomy in the case of Chloe Cole, or even far worse, in my opinion. So we passed this bill in Montana, signed into law by the governor, and it did a couple things. It protected kids. Okay, anyone under the age of 18, essentially, look, if you turn 18 and reach adulthood and you want to make adult decisions with adult consequences, the bill allowed for that. But for our kids, for our minors, who the law protects in all other areas, you know, we protect minors from purchasing cigarettes. That's an adult decision. We protect minors from making the adult decision to get married without their parents' consent. And at a certain age for minors, we just don't let them get married. We don't let 8-year-olds get married. We protect kids. So why would we not have that same sort of attitude when it comes to an irreversible medical procedure? And especially in a culture where this is being foisted on kids at younger and younger ages in our public schools, in our society in general. So that's what Senate Bill 99 did at the core. The other thing it did, and this was a really important thing, because we had a separate standalone bill that did the same thing, but it defined the terms male, female, and biological sex. So male and female, those are our two sexes. We didn't try and define gender. And there's a reason for that, because right now you can't define it. Maybe 100 years ago, maybe even 50 years ago, gender and sex meant the same thing. They were synonymous. If you look it up now, and I encourage you, if you're listening right now, Google it. Are sex and gender the same thing? You're going to see they are not. 99% of the articles that pop up are saying no, they are not. And that's true. Gender is this now something that's just not definable. Sex is, though. It's immutable. You cannot change it. It's biological. Okay. It from our perspective, Patrick, it's God-given. And so it can be defined. It can be clearly defined, and that's what we did in Montana. In fact, I often joke that we can answer Matt Walsh's question, "What is a woman?" We've defined it here in Montana, both in Senate Bill 99 and in the counterpart bill, Senate Bill 458. And why is that bill important? Why is it important to define these terms? Well, a couple reasons. First reason, our courts have been conflating these terms in various decisions. I've read a decision from a judge in this state in one paragraph referring to gender and two paragraphs later referring to sex and meaning the exact same thing. And when our courts are conflating those terms, it breeds this confusion. The second reason, bills like these protect women. Okay, and protect girls. It protects women and girls when they're playing sports. We want fair competition. Patrick, you and I are both pretty tall. It would not be fair for us to go play basketball against girls. It would not be fair. I want my daughter, and I know you would say the same for your daughters, when they're playing sports, you want them to be playing against other girls. You want fair competition. This bill protects women in the restroom and in private spaces, spaces where they are supposed to have privacy. Okay. Women should have their own restroom, their own locker rooms. Men should have their own space. This bill also protects women who are incarcerated. We've heard stories from other states where violent predators suddenly discover, coincidentally, that they want to identify as a woman. And they do so, and then they're housed in the female population, and they are still violent predators in that setting. This bill is about protecting women. Both bills, Senate Bill 99 and Senate Bill 458. Senate Bill 99, again, with the added bonus of protecting children from these radical medical interventions. They're not procedures, they're interventions. You're intervening with a child's natural development.
And shout out to Senator John Fuller for bringing that bill, Senate Bill 99. That was not an easy one. And we had tremendous support for it. There were many individuals in the community who came out and made their voices heard, which, just doing a quick plug here, if you are interested in making your voice heard so that you can affect change at your local level or at the state level, please reach out to us at montanafamily.org. And there's a phone number there. There's a contact form. And we would love to give you a call and plug you into our Family Leaders Program, which is a groups of individuals across the state who are meeting together, praying together, supporting one another, and training and looking for ways to make change in the state. But that bill, it went through, it passed, the governor signed it into law, Governor Gianforte, but it's stuck right now. Is that right? Where is it at?
That's right, Patrick. It's been enjoined. And so if you're not a legal nerd like me, what that means is it's been put on ice. It's been paused. The court over in Missoula told the state that they cannot enforce that law, and claimed that the law somehow violates the Constitution. The amazing thing, and this is, I believe, God's timing, 2 days after the judge in Missoula issued his opinion on Senate Bill 99 and enjoined Senate Bill 99, the bill that protects kids from these radical medical interventions, 2 days later, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals issued their ruling on Kentucky and Tennessee's laws, which are virtually identical to Senate Bill 99. And they went through how it's the state's duty to protect children from these radical medical interventions. So what we have here potentially, Patrick, is kind of a split in decision making that could make its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So even in these losses or in these pauses, because it's not a loss, the merits have not been reached. It's a pause. Even in those temporary setbacks, God is working. God is working, and there is a silver lining. So we are hopeful for a really good outcome at the end of the day. I want to talk for a minute too about why this is so dangerous as an ideology. And I've shared this story before in other contexts, but you know, the transgender ideology tells you that you can create yourself in whatever image you want. And that's directly contrary to what God tells us in His Word. He created us male and female. He created us in His image. Why this is so dangerous is because it's not just about gender being fluid. There's actually an example, a recent example, and you can look this up online. Have you heard of the term trans-abled?
I haven't.
Well, let me tell you, this example, there was a woman who could see and wanted to identify as blind. And so with the help of her therapist, she blinded herself. She blinded herself in order to be disabled. So she considers herself transabled. This is how far it goes. And I'll just put in a plug here too, Patrick, for our church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the church as a whole, not just your local church, but you as a Christian. You know, we've heard of the opioid epidemic, where the pharmaceutical companies lied to people about the addictive nature of their pharmaceutical products, and people got hooked to them, and lives were destroyed, and people died, and families were destroyed. Very terrible. And we've had a lot of fallout from that epidemic. I've compared this transgender ideology somewhat to that we have an epidemic of people being lied to about their biological sex, about the nature of gender and its supposed fluidity. And we as a church, we need to be ready for this epidemic of people who wake up from these lies and be starving for the truth. And the church is who can give that truth to them in a compassionate and loving way.
Yeah, that's great. And just on the point of, God made us in his image as male and female. It is a rejection of God's design, this ideology, and it has consequences. The Bible teaches us certain things for a reason, and it's because it's the best way of doing things. God knows his creation better than anybody, and when we reject that, those consequences are pretty dire, and they result in death in many ways. So, yeah, the church absolutely must wake up and engage and educate and just be involved in these conversations and not be afraid to stand on truth, because as time goes on, there will be more and more need for people to stand on truth. Because it will become a greater cost when people don't. More and more people will start to be silent and be afraid to speak out. And so the church must be a leader in speaking out on truth.
Yeah, that's right. It's such a sad issue to me. I really feel, having met several detransitioners and even meeting some folks who have transitioned, and it's really, there's a level of commitment there, Patrick, when you are willing to bet it all. In terms of, I'm going to alter my body because this is what I believe. There's a level of commitment and, dare I say, faith involved in that ideology. That anybody who goes down that path, you're going to be really entrenched. And in order to come out of that, it really takes some sort of revelation, in my opinion, from Christ. I mean, you got to have a heart of compassion when you're looking at this issue, because these people are being lied to. These people are being lied to. So it's, and we have a spiritual war going on around us. If you want to see a spiritual war taking place, show up to one of the judiciary committees in our state capital next session, and look for the tall guys, and we'll tell you which bills to watch, because there is a palpable spiritual battle going on in the halls of our Capitol. It's not just there, it's all around us, but there's a battle going on for hearts and minds in our society, and this ideology is one of those competing cultures, competing against Christ and the gospel.
Yeah, and people must reject the desire to make people feel good and tell them and affirm whatever those individuals are looking at. We need to speak hard truths, and that could also come in the form of, one instance that I think about very recently, there was a large push away from people going into Target, as they had a whole section on kind of transgender affirming clothing. And I, we made a decision that it was not a good thing for my daughters to go into a clothing section and see chest binders, or for my son to go in and see tucking underwear. trying to basically advocate that they should look differently potentially. I mean, how confusing is that to a child? I don't want my children to be ashamed of how God made them. And
Yeah, Patrick, it's confusing for adults, let alone children. And what I love what you said too. I mean, we have to speak hard truths. But is it so hard to tell somebody you are fearfully and wonderfully made by the creator of the universe, and he has a plan for you and for your life, and he loves you. And yeah, you might be confused about things, but if you have that truth, that hope, man, what a powerful message. And you know, this idea of gender affirming, and we've heard that term, gender affirming care, or you must affirm gender, things like that. It really, we, you know, one of our proponents on Senate Bill 99 has said that gender affirming is really biological sex denying. So if you are affirming someone's chosen gender, and it's not one of the two biological sexes, I mean, it's you're really denying the way that God created them. And you're telling them through that quote unquote affirmation that they're not created in a fearfully and wonderfully designed plan by the creator of the universe. So that really stuck with me in this process.
Yeah, and as we go along, these truths are very evident when you are reading scripture. And I mean, that's what I advise my friends, and that's what I try to do. I'm not perfect by any means, but I know that my truth is grounded in the Bible when I'm reading it, and through discernment that I receive from other godly believers, my pastor, going to church, my Bible groups. And I would highly encourage, our listeners, if you feel like you are having a hard time being grounded in truth because you look around and we have artificial intelligence that's faking what people are saying or pictures of people, and you don't know what news to believe and you don't know what's truth. The truth is in your Bible and it's in your church community, and that's where you need to go, and you need to get grounded there because it's not going to lessen. It's going to grow and grow, and that's what the Bible tells us.
So as we kind of wrap up here, Patrick, we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about some of the legislation from this past session. We've talked about the ideology, and what it preys on, I think, are young people. And I would just say, you know, the last thing to cover is, you know, and you've touched on this, get in the Word and know what is truth, and then how to speak that truth with love and compassion. Any closing thoughts from you?
I don't think I have anything major. I think I've touched on everything that I think is important on this topic. Just would rehash that we would highly encourage folks to get plugged in and get involved in our organization. These fights are ongoing. Even with pauses on things like Senate Bill 99, there are still battles going on at the local level. We have fights going on in Bozeman, in Billings, that are related to this type of an effort. And we have individuals of people who are starting to meet and get organized and get gathered to affect real change. And we would love for you to get plugged in. If you are not in a big area where you feel like you could go to Bozeman or Billings or something like that, and you're just in a rural part of the state, or hey, you're even in another state, there are still opportunities for you to get involved in what we're doing. So please go to montanafamily.org, check out our website, get to the contact form, submit your information so we can get in touch with you. And we have an awesome staff that will take your phone call, take your concerns, and we'll get in touch with you as soon as possible. And yeah, just get plugged in. Now's the time.
Yeah, that's great. I get plugged in, visit our website, montanafamily.org, montanafamily.org. Keep tuning into our podcast, and you know, Never forget, family matters. Thanks for joining us. God bless.